In the book of Galatians chapter 1, Paul wrote, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever." We gather here this evening on this night to consider the cross of Jesus Christ, the suffering of our Savior on our behalf. Tonight we'll be considering in our time together the sufficiency of the cross. I heard about an old preacher who gave the testimony that when he first began preaching, he said, "There's nothing better than the gospel." And then after a while, he thought about it more and more, and he changed that. And then he commonly said, "There's nothing that even compares with the gospel." But after a lifetime of preaching, and he thought more and more, he saw more and more friends and loved ones going to the other side, and he got closer and closer to it himself. He changed his saying again to say, "There's nothing but the gospel." Now, there are many great and glorious theological truths and biblical truths, and to this day, we still arrange them systematically for our consideration. I mean, we only get one lifetime, and there's a Bible, a whole Bible to consider, and so we kind of tend to divide it up into portions, and we do so systematically so that we can think about, for example, anthropology, which is the study of humanity and what the Bible therefore reveals about man and mankind. And let me tell you something, you don't really understand humanity until you see us through the lens of Scripture. God is the one. Of course, he's the one who made us. It is he, the psalmist said, that hath made us and not we ourselves. Therefore, God gives us that information. Very important, very critical for us to study what the Scripture has to say about humanity. There is the study of soteriology. That's the study of salvation. There is Christology. There's theology, the study of God. We add to that pneumatology, the study of the Spirit and all things related to the spiritual realm. There's ecclesiology and the study of the church and all things related to the doctrine of the church. There is eschatology, the study of the end times and all the truth that is wrapped up in the glorious return of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to tell you that those things are not important. They are. But I will tell you, if you study all of these other disciplines, but somehow leave out the truth of the gospel and leave out the truth of the cross of Jesus Christ, then all the others are robbed of their power and significance. I tell you, when I think about eschatology, I don't know about you, but I would not be surprised if at any moment, one morning, I was to wake up and find out that the nation, a conglomeration of nations led by Russia and Iran and Persia and many others had invaded Israel. That perhaps many other nations had joined in. Would not surprise me a bit to read that in the morning's news at any moment. I hate to say it, but it also wouldn't surprise me to see that our nation decided to sit the battle out. We could talk a lot about that tonight, but even in our study of eschatology, the study of the things that are to come, the study of the end times, even then, it is all wrapped up in the truth of the gospel that is called the power of God unto salvation. When I think of these then, and I think of the gospel, I can say wholeheartedly that I believe with all my heart that every sermon that I preach should revolve around that truth, the truth of the gospel. That no matter what subject, what passage I might be preaching on, it's important that I show how it relates to that eternal and redemptive purpose of God in Christ, because the whole story of Scripture is the story of God's redemptive purpose in Christ that played out there on Calvary and is still working in our world today. And though Jesus cried out, "It is finished," so long ago, and that meant that all of the price of your salvation and mine had been paid, yet he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The redemptive purpose of God in Christ Jesus, purposed before time began, played out on Calvary so long ago, and yet still a message, a word that is committed unto us as ambassadors for Christ, pleading with a lost world that they might be made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. When Paul wrote to the churches in the province of Galatia, he was writing to people who seemingly had become somewhat tired, I guess, of the gospel, of the message of the cross. They were treating it as if it was old news and even boring. And we know that because somebody had come along with some new stuff, some new ideas, something exciting that they could add to the gospel. And we don't know everything about these false teachers, but for the most part, they were either trying to woo people back under the old covenant in the Old Testament to embrace all of those Old Testament rituals and shadows, or they were offering them some new spiritual experience, some higher mystical knowledge that God had revealed, so that they could say in either direction, whether luring people back to the old covenant or luring them into this Gnostic heresy, the new light thinking of the spiritual experience and mystical experiences, either way, the message was the same. Well, you've believed in Jesus. Well, that's good. But now you need this. You believed in the old rugged cross. That's good. But now you need this. The cross. Yeah, sure, we all know about the cross. But there's just so much more available. That's the essence of the message, and the Galatians were being bombarded by it from both sides. And we know that they were being pulled in that direction because Paul would say to them in this very chapter, I'm amazed that you're so soon removed from him that called you to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to another gospel, which is not another. They were being steadily wooed away from the power of the gospel. We've often noted that when anything is added to Jesus Christ, it takes everything away from him. Jesus plus anything else equals nothing. The gospel plus anything else is no gospel at all. And so tonight, this night of all nights that we call Good Friday, for a reason I don't understand, but it's been called that long before I was ever born. We look then to the cross of Jesus Christ and its sufficiency, lest we too might somehow allow the gospel to become old news to us, lest we too might somehow begin to treat the cross as, and the message of the cross as, well, you know, that's a good thing, but oh, we need so much more. I want to show you three things in our text tonight, very simple things, will not be here long, that reveal the sufficiency of the truth of the cross of Jesus Christ. And the first one is, of course, the death itself. Verse 4, He gave Himself for our sins. We remind ourselves tonight that Jesus did what only He could do. And that is to give Himself for our sins. Only His death could take away our sins. Only His death could bring us salvation. Only His death could pay the price. And if we wonder why it was that way, it was because, of course, only He could be the sinless substitute who would die not for His own sins, but for ours. It really doesn't matter whether someone is saved in early childhood, as I was. I've told you many times, I was saved when I was 7 years old. Whether a person is saved in their teen years or whether they're saved as a young adult, middle-aged, elderly, it doesn't matter. We all had the same problem, the sin problem. We all needed the same salvation. And it came to us the exact same way because we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and we received Him as our Savior. God help us to never, ever lose sight of how incredible it is every time anybody gets saved. Something has happened to them then. Their sins have been forgiven. They've become a new creation, Paul said, in Jesus Christ. They've been reconciled to God for all eternity. Whether it's a child or a neighbor down the street, a friend, a loved one, or a stranger, we rejoice in them all. A good friend of mine shared with me a story that he had one time in their community. There wasn't a very large community, and there wasn't a bunch of places where you could gather up in the morning. And so on Monday morning, you know, just a regular coffee shop and three or four churches in town, and all the pastors would be in there drinking coffee on Monday morning, talking about how things went. And on this particular Sunday, he said, this particular Monday, he said, you know, we had a couple of people saved that week. And he was just sharing that with the other guys. And one of the other fellows said, man, you should have been at our church. We had two people got their legs lengthened. Now, I don't want to put down anybody who obviously gets something like that happens to them. I tell you, you walk with a limp, you want your leg lengthened. That's a special thing. But it doesn't matter whether it's a miracle like that or any other kind of miracle that might happen, no matter what. It would not compare to somebody who gets their sins forgiven for all eternity. Oh, let's never look down on the salvation of souls that is accomplished only by the death of Jesus Christ. And I know there's this whole mentality that you hear so much today, by His stripes we are healed. And there's so many who want to take that to mean physical healing. And I don't believe that's what it meant at all. I mean, I think that what it was talking about, what the Old Testament prophet was talking about when he said, by His stripes we are healed, he wasn't saying that physical healing was accomplished by the stripes of Jesus. But our spiritual healing, that's what was accomplished. But even if we gave that to them, even if those who believe that were right, by His stripes we're healed, let's always remember, if that even was what it meant, and I don't think it was, but if it was, it would still be His stripes, but it took His death to wash away our sins. His death. Christ died for us. Then there's the deliverance, that He might deliver us from this present evil age. And the Gnostics were telling them, even then, their influence would grow and grow once they had injected the mystery religions and brought them and kind of made a combination between them and Christianity. It never really got away from it. It injected a poison into the bloodstream of the Christian faith. And I'm saying that in a broad sense tonight. Not having to do with the truth, but just what was happening, created a combination of that mysticism and the idea of the gospel. And remember, I've already told you, when you add anything to the gospel, it's no gospel at all. But all of a sudden, they were convinced that Jesus really wasn't enough. Jesus could get you to heaven, they might say, but you know, you need before long they were looking to this person, some holy venerated person, maybe a symbol that you could wear of that person, and he'd provide you protection from this, and this one would provide you protection from this, and this kind of act or this kind of ritual, and yeah, you need all this kind of protection from all these kind of powers. Well, I'm glad tonight that this passage is in the Bible, because it tells us that the same cross that saves us is the same cross that delivers us from the power of this evil age. We don't have to look to anything else, because the greater is He that's in us and He that is in the world. We know that the power of the cross of Jesus Christ then is all we need. We don't have to look to anyone or anything else. No other power, no other mediator, no other dynamic that we have to look to in order for us to be delivered from the powers that are out there in this world. We don't start with the cross and then graduate to something better. The sufficiency of the cross then is revealed in His death. He gave Himself for our sins. Jesus did what only He could do. But also the deliverance, so that He could deliver us from this present evil age. And because then of the death and the deliverance, then there's the doxology. According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I always liked the fact that Paul wrote his own amens into the Bible. You know, if nobody else would give him one, he'd give him one and say, he'll take one himself. But forever and ever, amen. Yeah, go ahead, brother. I'll do it too. The design of the cross takes us from eternity to eternity. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God moved in creation and God moved in redemption. It was according to the will of our God and Father. It pleased God. The Old Testament prophet said to bruise Him. But we also know that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we know that God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And so God's will, God's purpose for redemption was brought about through Jesus Christ. And it is made available then under that tremendous passage of Scripture. He tasted death for every man, every person. And so he ends up then that this is something to glorify God for forever and ever. I want to close out my time. Brother Bill is going to lead the choir in some more singing. But I'd like you all to stand with me and sing an old hymn. And I hope you've got it memorized. If you don't, you're just completely lost. Well, you can grab that hymnal down there, and it's in page number 348. Just sing it along. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Let's go. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore my burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Let's do the last verse. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Sing it. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Amen. To the glory of God the Father.